Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome. I hope you have your Bibles in hand, and also you should have received a bulletin coming on in, a card. Thank you, Pastor Sean, and the work he's doing with our youth group. What's very exciting for us, as you know, that Pastor Zach Iflin and the STN interns coming back Tuesday from El Salvador. So just keep them mindfully in your prayers. We're excited about that. They met up with so many other ministries, but our missionary, Jared Mueller, which, by the way, Jared will be speaking 2 weeks from today. So, Jared Mueller, many of you have signed up for El Salvador trip in October. Your $100 big one deposit's due today. So we just want to remind you of that. So how exciting is that? We are thrilled to talk about what God is doing with regards to our youth, with regards to our missions. It's really very important to me personally. Be missions-minded. It really does help us to think beyond our abilities or even sometimes out of our self-focus or our self-interest. We know that so much of Sunday mornings and even the messages are geared to you and me, geared to you who are watching as well. But if this particular message is just the only time that you receive spiritual direction or input, I just like to say you're on life supports, ICU, yeah. And it's important that we have these occasions to kind of encourage ourselves, and I think the message today will be just that. One of the big steps, so many of you, I think of about 13 individuals that need to be water baptized. That's happening next Sunday, by the way. Right here will be our baptismal tank right under the cross. If you're needing to be water baptized as a Christian, does not mean if you've been dedicated as an infant or christened as a baby, but you've made a confession of faith in Jesus. The next step is water baptism. I'm going to meet with you in the fellowship hall immediately after church. It'll just take 10 minutes, get your name for your certificate, what to bring. And I'm so glad the Spirit of the Lord told us to be kind to each other. Isn't that true? How many? Because after this is our Koinonia cookout. That means complimentary burgers and hot dogs. And kind means you just take one portion. I just thought, boy, I'm going to, one portion. There's always go back, half seconds. But so many last week were doubling it up. So I just want to be kind. Be kind. There are people behind you. Is that okay? It's like that 1 Corinthians 11 and the communion feast, right? Some went home hungry. Nah, we don't have a problem with people going home drunk. We don't serve that here, but be careful about too much food. How's that? Well, let's pray. We're starting a new series, and I'm excited about that. Lord, transition our hearts. We engage you right now through your word and through your pattern of speaking to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how many growing up played the board game, the game of life? How many remember that occasion? You remember doing that and experiencing that? The object was it had really kind of those life happening scenarios where you basically, you got married, you had kids, you had your career, you got your home payments going on, and then you had other bad situations that took place. You had all of a sudden lawsuits, you had repair bills, you had big-time mortgage payments, you had all of a sudden somebody really, you had to at times even project bankruptcy and all of that to try to get to Millionaire Acres. Remember that? You just love taking your little car with the little sticks going over the bridge, and it's fun and at times frustrating as that game is because you just don't know where that spinner is going to land you. Real life is something just like that. It's a little more intense. Sometimes circumstances lead to pain and development, and we can get sidetracked off of the path of life. That is our season that we're taking a look at this series. It's entitled Staying on the Path of Life. That's what we're looking at. That's the series, Staying on the Path of Life. I like when God says in his word, Psalm 16:11, I will show you the path of life. In my presence is fullness of joy. At my right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I'll show you the path of life. We're going to experience that, and I believe that if you've never been through a discipleship course, no one's ever told you how to stay strong and courageous for God, then this brief little time together will give you some very key ingredients, because if you're finding that life is not quite working out for you, we want to take a look at when life goes sideways. When life goes sideways. Let's take a look on your notes. The first point, consider your circumstances. We're going to look here at Haggai chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. God's going to say something here, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Haggai says something to a whole large group of people. Check it out with me. It says, this is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. Look at what's happening to you. You have planted much but harvest little. You eat but are not satisfied. You drink but are still thirsty. You put on clothes but cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happened to you. Now, it's interesting when we note this, because things do happen. All of a sudden, things don't quite fit. We could all say over this last 2 years of just dealing with a pandemic, it's like, what has happened? Seems like things are different. It's like I've had this string of, some people say, just string of bad luck. Well, is that what's going on? What happens when life goes really sideways and it's affecting you? Circumstances can really kind of dictate certain things that God may be saying. Take a look here at New King James, same verse, Haggai chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. New King James says it this way. It says, now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat but do not have enough. You drink but are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. So when life goes sideways, our first point, you can see that, consider your circumstances. We want to take a look at three key things, because you might be dealing with, what is going on with my life? I want to stay on the path of life. Who doesn't? But sometimes situations happen, and we want to consider this. Letter A, God uses circumstances to get our attention. God uses circumstances. Purpose for that. Let's take a look, because sometimes in dealing with the recent elements, not only pandemic, look what's going on in our society, if you would, just for a moment. Global crisis, political chaos, record inflation, soaring fuel prices, political leaders that are morally bankrupt. Take a look at things where all of a sudden you would wonder, man, what is going on? Think of what is happening. Consider your ways, because God uses circumstances to get our attention. If you've never had somebody tell you that, he does. Sometimes there's no way to really get us to slow down except things happen. But he wants us. It's kind of like that Verizon, that commercial. Remember that? Remember they're going around? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Yeah, that's usually what's happening. God's trying to say, can you hear me now? There's a time when Jesus was saying to the religious leaders, check it out with me in Matthew 16, verse 2. He says, he replied, you know the saying, red sky at night means fair weather tomorrow. Red sky in the morning means foul weather all day. You know how to interpret the weather signs in the sky, but you don't know how to interpret the signs of the times. Now, if you have any interest in our Wednesday night church service, because it's all about Jesus and the end times, you may not be able to determine the end times. You're not interested. Jesus might even say that. You know how to determine whether you should go to the grocery store or not, but you may not know about the end times. So in the Old Testament, there's a boatload of stories where God uses issues to bring attention. And Haggai is one of them that we just saw. Now, it doesn't need to be a global element. It could be a more personal, unique things that could come along in our life. Areas like financial problems or marital problems. Maybe the possibility of overwhelming stress or parental issues or loss of jobs. Those are very difficult things that would cause life to go sideways for people. And when it happens, for me, a thumb rule is, man, God, you have my undivided attention. Because I don't want to accentuate the problem by just guessing and going at what somebody told me. Whoa, Lord, what is going on? You have my attention. And that's really what God is wanting your attention. He wants you to know what he's doing, what may be needing to be changed, what needs to be altered. Second, letter B, God uses circumstances to change our direction. Now, that's important. He actually wants to protect us often. But check it out in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. I like this one. I've been to God's woodshed many times. I don't like it. But anyway, let's read about it. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. I can attest to that. But afterwards, there will be a peaceful harvest, a right living for those who are trained in this way. Now, God actually is a good parent. He does say, go ahead and pray this way to me, our Father in heaven. He's a good parent. He wants to make sure that he's able to help us in ways that would really give us direction. Now, there's two ways that we could get off direction. One is by disobedience. The other way is that he just wants to flat protect us. Because he just knows if you keep going that way and you haven't slowed down to give him your attention, he has to do something to alert you and say, whoa. But let's just talk about disobedience for a moment. Because as we take a look, there's a difference between somebody that's struggling with sin and somebody that's willfully pursuing it. Take a look at that thought. Somebody that's struggling with sin, there's so much grace and mercy with God for those that are struggling. We all have benefited. Like, Lord, thank you. That's what drew my attention. Man, when I accepted Jesus as my Savior, it's like literally I could breathe because this weight came off of my chest. It was very apparent. It's like, what just happened to me? But that willful pursuit of sin, that's where somebody says, I know what God says. I know what he's wanting. Literally, we don't say it, but literally, I don't care. And that's where you can anticipate God stepping in and saying, I'm going to take you to the woodshed. And he does it in such a loving way. It's just so good. Literally, because of God. So when we deal with that element of God's love, he does discipline us, but he's wanting to change the direction we're going. How about letter C? God uses circumstances to grow our realization. Now, when I say realization, that's basically to have that understanding like, you know what, life was better when I was really fully committed to Jesus. Amen. Now I'm kind of like milk toast, lukewarm, kind of flippant, and I'm struggling here. So we have to be careful about that. We all remember the realization when you were just so involved and wonderfully encouraged in a lot of different ways with the Lord. You went to church quite often. You didn't find other things to make you miss. You actually volunteered every time you could. It felt great to give of your time and even resources. You discovered the miraculous. And the realization, like, wow, I had a better, life's a rock anyway. You could go through it with Jesus, or you can go through it where you're feeling, I'm not too sure how right God and I really are. So we want to consider those circumstances, how God works through us. And it's really, when it comes to that discipline, there produces an element of really a harvest of peace. How about number two? We want to consider your connection, and I mean with God, with God. There are times that life isn't working out because we've kind of left God out of a little bit of something here or there. Now, just consider that with me. That's what I would tell somebody. I don't have to bring you all into my office. You all look good today anyway. It's probably maybe I'm dealing with a few of you there at home. That life's gone sideways. It's like, okay, where do I begin? You just, there's some place, somewhere, God's not invited into the dialogue or the pursuit. And Jesus has a specific word for that. If you look at John 15, verse 4, he says, for a branch can produce fruit, a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I'm the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. That's very clear, isn't it? So just consider that. We're talking, consider your connection. Life doesn't seem to be working well. What's happening? Am I still connected to Jesus? That's important. Now, we could either blame God, or we can say, you know what, I really have kind of left God out. Pause, consider, how much is Jesus a part of my life? That's important. Now, there's three ways to connect. So, how do I connect? I'm just going to assume you've all given your life to Jesus. You've all been water baptized. Come on. Let's go big. Letter A, connect with humility. Boy, I'll tell you, one of the greatest qualities God works in every child of his, especially me, is humility. It's a great quality that ushers in tremendous gifts and power of the Holy Spirit. And look at here in Psalm 69, for a moment, verse 2, the humble will see their God at work. Can you just see that with me? The humble will see their God at work and be glad. Let all who seek God's help be encouraged. So that's a great spiritual quality. Just consider that. That time, like, Lord, is there a relationship I need to reevaluate? I'm a little too haughty maybe with? Is there some time of areas where I don't feel I need to follow your leading? I think I've got this one, God. Just consider that. Letter B, connect with pursuing. Now, when I use the pursuing, look at Psalm 105, Psalm 105, verse 4. Search for the Lord and for his strength, continually seek him. Now, I use the word pursuing. Continually means let that be something you often do. We're dealing with people that are finding that their life seems to be out of kilter. What do I do? Because we want to be on the path of life. And so pursuing God is really an ingredient that's so vital. Now, Ainsley and I have been married for over 40 years. Isn't that amazing? I know it. I understand. She married me young. I was a child bridegroom. 40 years. 40 years. And I found this about Ainsley. She still wants to be pursued. So there are things I will do to pursue her. Pursuing conversation, making sure I spend time. I'll send little pursuing texts, you know, that little hubba hubba text thing, you know what I mean? I'm not talking sexting, I'm talking she knows what I mean thing. And just setting up a little bit of those little date times. Even this Friday, I text and I said, hey, because she said, we need to have a date night. Mondays are our day off. Fridays are our date nights or going out with somebody if we get an invite. If not, then I got to invite her. So that's what I said, honey, Dodgers are playing the Angels. I'm buying tickets. Oh, she got so excited. Yeah. And when we were on our way home, how much of those tickets cost us? And there went the joy. But it sure paid big dividends. It was, hey, and we almost saw Clayton Kershaw pitch a no-hitter. Oh, man. I'm wearing Dodger blue. She's wearing Angel red, huh? Huh? So who went home happy? Yes, but it was a one-hitter. It was a good game, but poor Angels. Anyway, sellout crowd. Let's get back to the message, shall we? Okay. But God likes us to pursue Him as well. I'm telling you, think about that one. God likes us to pursue Him. One of the ways is we're encouraged to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. Man, that is basically serious pursuit. That's Mark chapter 12, verse 31. You bring it. God likes us to pursue Him. How about it? Sometimes we get too busy and too overworked. So when life isn't working, can remind us to go back and pursue the one who will put your life back on the path of life. Listen, you can go ahead and seek out things that will numb the pain, or why don't you go after God who will heal the pain? I just don't understand. God will heal the pain. He'll heal the pain. Letter C, connect with turning. Connect with turning. It's interesting because the word repent literally means, it's not a negative word, but it literally means, man, I am going the wrong way, but let's go ahead and let's turn around and go the right way. When painful circumstances come in and you just know something's not quite right, what is happening? Lord, is there some other direction you want me to go? Jeremiah 5, verse 25 says very clearly, for your sins has deprived you of these wonderful blessings. Your sin has robbed you of all these good things. See that? I see that so clearly. We just enjoyed a great series of just passing on the blessings from one to another. And when God says, I've just got to tell you, Paul, your sin has deprived you of these blessings. I see that. Lord, what then do I need to reconsider doing? We know that Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Please understand, we've all tried this. Sin does not give you life. Sin literally takes your life away. So what a bummer. It's so freeing as a Christian to realize what is and what isn't in shape of going and enjoying life the way we know it. I like also Psalm 119, verse 59. Check this out. It says, I pondered the direction of my life and turned to follow your laws. I pondered, which means stopped, and I considered the direction I was going, and I decided to turn in the direction of the Word of God. I see that. We've all experienced that where we were living in a particular pattern. It's like, man, I'm just going to become a Bible junkie. I'm going to go into the bedroom Bible college and study up. Something about that where we pause, stop, and ponder. Check it out too, Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Because that word repent or turning around, because life's something needs to change. I like it where the apostle comes along and says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? I love that. That we've all experienced that. Just hit hard times, feel like, can I ever get back to that area of that sweetness of environment? Well, it comes right down to say, Lord, what direction do I need to go? When life doesn't work, let's consider one more area, and that's called choice. One more area. Point number three, consider your choices. I'm in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Sure glad so many of you are reading your Bibles. It makes it so much more enjoyable when we kind of click into certain verses like this, but check out Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Because it's important. Consider your source. I like this chat. I like all of Deuteronomy. It's just such a layman's terms how to apply good Bible principles. But check this one out. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death, blessings and cursings. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. Check it out with me. You need to highlight verse 19 to 20. It's interesting. I always find it fascinating, don't you? When God says, listen, I'm going to set before you today blessings or cursing. That's it. Blessings or cursing. There's no in between, by the way. And we're talking about blessings. This is a big deal, this particular area of making a choice. It could be that transformational even for you today. Even today. Has very little for you or me to do something. Has everything for you to say, I choose to do what's right. I may not know how to go about it. My heart is wanting to do what's right. God sees that. I'm telling you, he'll orchestrate your living arrangements, and it's an amazing thing. Now, he lays it out, says, I'm setting that before you, and just in case you're confused, can you see it there? Oh, he says, that you would choose life. Amen. Choose life, just in case you just don't know which one to go with. Now, how many remember growing up and seeing Let's Make a Deal with Monty Hall? You know, ridiculous costumes, you show up. And then you get your name down, Paul Harmon, come on down. Ah! And you're there, and yes, we've got what, this is it. You can pick from door number one, or door number two, or door number three. Remember that? And the curtain, big veil, like, oh, you don't get to see what's behind there. But go ahead, Paul, and the crowd saying, two, three, no, one. Yeah, I don't know, oh, I'm so confused, stress. One, two, no, three, two. Okay, let's see what you didn't get. Door number one, pull back the curtains. There it is. Man, a fully paid for with airfare to the Caribbean. Total package price, $12,000. Oh, you still have two more curtains. Door number three, what you didn't get. A 2022 Bentley, total package price, $319,000. Oh. And you know now you're going to get the sucker punch. Here it is. Pull back door number two, which you picked. There it is. Oh, a year's supply of cow fertilizer. Can you? Holy moly, cow poo-poo. Now, you'd say, you know, he didn't know. But Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, God says this, door number one, life. Door number two, death. Door number one, blessings. Door number two, cursing. And just in case you don't know what to pick, I'm going to roll back the curtains and you pick now. That's what he's doing. I laugh every time I see this. In case you don't know which one to pick, choose life. It's like, can you imagine, God? He's really wanting to help us. Yes. It's like back to the, really, let's make a deal. Paul Harmon, come on down. Yeah. Woo, woo. Here's three curtains. Which one are you going to pick, Paul Harmon? And to help you, we're going to pull back the curtains. Caribbean vacation. Door number two, ooh, a boo, year supply of cow poo-poo. Number three, that beautiful Bentley. Which one are you going to pick, Paul? Two, one, three, no, one, two, three. I don't know. I'm so confused. I pick. You see it? You pick? Door two. Can you imagine? That's what some people do. They pick the poo. What is going on? God is saying, you might pick wrong. I'm just going to tell you which one. Pick life. That both you and your family can live. How nice is God? But some people pick the cow poo-poo. I don't get it. we really need the Holy Spirit's help. We really do. God gives us the freedom to choose. That's the beauty of it. That's the graciousness of our Lord. Let me highlight now, how do we go about if we're going to go ahead and choose? If you see Deuteronomy 30, verse 20, he says, you can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. Everybody see that there? Highlight that. Get your Bibles out. Colorize it. This is the key to your life. Letter A, define it, just real, break it down. The choice to love God. It's listed there. Love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God. Sometimes you say, well, that's so abstract. How do you love somebody you don't see? That's a good question. I'm glad you brought that up in the back. Thank you. Well, you just go about spending time with that person. Why don't you tell God, I love you, Jesus. I love you. We sing it. Sometimes we can't even put it to words in music. Let's tell him. Let's spend that time that's so important and so necessary. Spend time with him in prayer. Read the Bible. We're going to hit a topic next Sunday. I think it's going to be the most important of this series. And I think letter B, the choice to trust God. Obey him. It's listed there in Deuteronomy 30, verse 20. Obey him. It's really a trust issue, isn't it? To trust God is to obey him. That is really such a significant area. You know, the majority of Christians, people that say they go to church, don't really believe in the inerrancy of the scripture. They really, there's a lot of Christians that say that the Bible does not contain absolute truth. That's our day and age. It's a sign of the times. We're talking about that on Wednesday when we discuss what Jesus says about the end times, what the Apostle Paul says about the end times. But there are a lot of Christians says, well, Deuteronomy 30, 19 to 20, that's good for you, but yeah, it's not really for me because that's all just truth that's relative. Then number C, the choice to follow God. Commit yourself firmly to him. That's really what Deuteronomy 30, verse 20 says. Following him no matter what it takes. We're called to live a radically different lifestyle than the world. Yes, sir. Is anybody, can you imagine? If you've been a Christian for any length of time and the people you work with or your neighbors do not know you're a Christian, something could be off. Something could be off. So let's go big. Let's consider that. Christians in this day and age are polar opposites. Polar opposites. I know we want to be relationally rad looking so everybody can say, okay, but then bring the message. Get the gospel out there. Once they say, man, you smell and act just like me, but yeah, I'm not. It's Jesus. So it's important. Without a firm commitment, you're going to falter when life goes sideways. You will falter. And we're not wanting anybody to have that happen. Isn't the Lord good? Let's bow our heads just for a moment. Let's consider right now. Without a firm commitment, I'm so glad moving in our youth group. Many of the students recommitted their lives to Jesus. This is one of those messages that probably needs you to pull away from the bustling society that you live and work with so you can have God reveal where you're not fully committed. You're not all in. But today, you who are at home, shoo all the distractions and say, this is ground zero. This is the start of something great, something big. If your heads are bowed here in the room and eyes are closed and you need to recommit your life, firmly committed, raise your hand. Say, Pastor Paul, that's me. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Go ahead and put the hand down. Thank you. Anyone else? I'm going to give my life to the Lord and I need to surrender. Thank you. Go ahead and thank you. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Go ahead and put it down. How about you who are at home? Let me lead you in this prayer. The Lord already sees your prayer, the longing of your heart. He already sees that. That's the beautiful thing. I don't know what another man or woman thinks. Jesus does. And he will wonderfully embrace each of you. In this short little prayer, let's all pray. Maybe you weren't quite sure what I was asking, but you just know God's tugging on your hearts over episodes. Let's pray this together. Dear Jesus, I confess to you now, I surrender all of my life and of my goals. I want what you want. And I ask you now, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross for me, and I invite you in. Give me that new life. Give me that resurrection experience right now, today. And dear Jesus, I trust you for eternal life in heaven with you. Finally, Jesus, make me the kind of person you want me to be. And I ask you, Lord, get me out of this painful circumstance that I'm currently in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord, shall we? Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles and let's close them. Let's go ahead and make sure you take notes. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.